We're going back to the beginning. When Kazuma Kiryu was only like in his 40s, I think. We're talking about Yakuza Kiwami. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd, where it's July Dragon, as we are covering, for the first time, Yakuza Kiwami. And for the first time, we are going to play the entire game from start to finish, week to week, which is going to be weird, it's going to be interesting, and boy, howdy, we may not... It may take longer than we think. My name is Drew, and joining me, a guy whose backstory we only get in flashbacks and an updated version. Miles, how are you, my friend?
Good evening. I'm doing all right. I am very, very excited to start this one. This is one that Drew and I have been talking about for a long time.
Yeah, so the Yakuza franchise is very, very... weird and interesting because it started all the way back in 2005 in Japan, and it was released in America in 2006. It was a PlayStation 2 game. It looks very different than what Yakuza games look like now, but it's a game that continues to return to the same sort of locations, same sort of venues as they've been making these games for more than 20 years now. Yes, the Yakuza franchise, or Like a Dragon, as it was known in Japan, is more than 20 years old, which is absolutely crazy that that first game is considered vintage by a lot of people now.
Yeah, it's close to being retro.
But it's a game franchise that... that largely stars Kazuma Kiryu, who is a Yakuza guy, Yakuza lieutenant, Yakuza whatever, in the city of Kamurocho, which is, I believe, based on a Tokyo sub-city called... that's what's going on. I'm getting beeps right now. Sorry. So sorry about that. So anyway, it's based on a real life Tokyo sub-city called Kabukicho. And if you look at Kabukicho and you look at Kamurocho, they are very, very close, including a very iconic Torii Gate arch that's all neoned up. And it's pretty, pretty wild. It's an entertainment district, as they say. And that is one of the fun things about this series, is that the world, though you don't always get everything in some of these games, you do see a lot of cities represented with little differences over time.
Yes, I think this is such a brilliant move on the series part in general, because, you know, this game comes out in 2005 and is kind of overlooked in the States. It's not given a whole lot of marketing here. Not a ton of fanfare. I had some friends that were really enthusiastic about it, but it was mostly overlooked as a GTA-like game.
Yes, which it kind of is in its own way, but weirdly, it did also have a tremendous amount of talent in its voice cast, because while a lot of the games have voice acting now, for a period of time, they stopped doing English voiced casting. But in this first game on the PlayStation 2, which is not available in the Kiwami version that we played, you have Daryl Kurilo as Kiryu himself. You might know him as one of the guys in Diablo. He was Asher Mir in Destiny 2 when he was in the game.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Michael Rosenbaum plays Nishikiyama, the maybe bad guy of the game. You've got
It's pretty clear up front.
Yeah, there's a character, Makoto Date, who is the sort of police detective that we meet early on. We'll talk about him. Who's voiced by Bill Farmer, a.k.a. Goofy.
Trust me, this house is very well aware of who Bill Farmer is.
Yeah, well, I'm letting the listeners who don't know. And of course,
who don't have a partner who is obsessed with a Goofy movie.
Yeah, and of course, Majima, who we're going to talk about a lot, is played by a little guy you may have heard of, Mark Hamill, which is super wild. So
it's very wild.
Before we dive into the story of the game itself, I kind of want to ask you, Miles, what was your first real exposure to the Yakuza franchise, the Like a Dragon franchise?
So I played Yakuza briefly when it came out. I was working in game retail, so I had access to games, and I don't care what anyone told you, employees absolutely checked out brand new games.
Yeah.
There was apparently some debate on whether or not this happened. I can say up front, yes, it did.
Oh, yeah.
With no feel of reprisals. So I played it over the weekend, and at the time, I didn't really put a lot of effort into it. So I kind of overlooked it myself. I was like, oh, that's kind of fun, but I was looking for, I don't know, for something else. And so I had friends who stayed with the franchise, and it was so interesting because every single time one got localized, when a new game was announced, my friends were having a big, long debate and conversation of whether or not we would get it, because this series didn't start off doing gangbusters here.
No.
It did well enough that they still made it. They localized it, but it really wasn't until it started to pick up in the kind of HD era a little bit. And then 5 and 6 did a little bit better. It really wasn't until Yakuza 0 that this game starts to make an impact. And Yakuza 0 is, I think, the first, you know, big success. It's often seen as the reason people have started getting attracted to it. But I will further argue that it wasn't until 2020's Like a Dragon that it became a thing in the West.
Yeah, so I listened to a podcast, the Giant Bombcast. If you listen to this, you may or may not know about it, but it's one of the biggest video game podcasts out there. And they had a couple of guys that had been diehard Yakuza guys. And this is going back years and years, where they would kind of talk about it and kind of talk around it. And over time, I just started kind of hearing about it. And then Yakuza 0, I think, was on sale at one point, and I picked it up, and I didn't really get it. And we're going to talk about this. These games front load so much story and dialogue and stuff that it's kind of hard to parse a little bit. When you're not used to that, you know, it's hard to kind of break through to get to the game itself.
And it's so funny that you mentioned that, because I had a similar time the first time I played it. It wasn't until I played Yakuza 0 where I was like, everything just kind of clicked for me, because I heard for years, oh, they take out things, you know, all the mini games aren't in, which by the time Zero comes around is not as much an issue. I know in the first couple of games, I know they took out like the host restaurants and stuff like that. But Drew and I were having this conversation earlier today about not just fatigue, but a kind of a wariness for open world games, because a lot of developers, when they make these games, they make giant open world games that have a whole lot of emptiness in them and not a whole lot of things to chew on. And yes, Skyrim and Elden Ring are rarities, but like for every one of those games, there's like 10 AAA glut games that just suck up your time and don't really feel that worth it. And I would argue that by being a lot more insular, by recycling the same kind of cities and locations and stuff, the Like a Dragon franchise is one of the most vibrant out there.
Yes, and it feels lived in. So
yes,
while I played a little bit of Yakuza 0, I didn't really connect with it. And then, like a dragon, Yakuza 7, which is also coincidentally when the franchise name changed in America. So it was always Like a Dragon in Japan, but in America it was marketed as Yakuza until Yakuza 7, Like a Dragon, and now they're going to be Like a Dragon games from here on out.
Yes.
And now Like a Dragon is interesting because it's kind of a soft reboot of the franchise. It transitions from a full-on action game, as we are going to be talking about a lot here, to a turn-based RPG with a class system, which that's a whole other thing that I...
And they nailed it.
They 100% nailed it, and it was so successful, they've made a second one in Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which I have also played and beaten, and they're fantastic games. But
the thing about the turn is, I remember so many fans were really nervous about the complete shift in gameplay style, and it fits so well, especially with the type of story they're telling. Now, I can't speak for Yakuza 4, 5, and 6. I don't really have a whole lot of experience with those. I played 0 through 3 bits and bobs here and there. I played a lot of 0.
Finished
0.
And that's where, as 7 got super popular and 0 was popular, and Yakuza Kiwami came out before 7. So Yakuza 0 came out, and the Yakuza Kiwami, Yakuza 1 came out in 2005, 2006. Kiwami came out in 2016. And it came out, ironically, on both the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. So we have this, and then we have when did 7 come out? I had everything.
2020, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was 2020.
November of 2020, which is still like 10 months after its Japanese release.
Yeah. So you have Kiwami and also Kiwami 2 in 2016 and 2017, and it's 2020 where I feel like it really, really caught on. Now,
Because Infinite Wealth was, I think, the first one to have a simultaneous release.
Yeah. So from here, it's important to note Yakuza 2 was 2005, 2006. Yakuza 3, there are a lot of Yakuza games and Yakuza associated games. We also have a spinoff game called Judgment, which is set in, and its sequel Lost Judgment, which are set in the same cities and same places. They have done, a game where they take the cast and plug them into Japanese history in Like a Dragon Ishin, where they go back to the foundation of the Yakuza in a samurai era. it's all wild, and it's all leading up to next year's Stranger Than Heaven, which is going to take place in multiple different decades, starting in the 1920s.
In the universe, but it's not specifically a Yakuza game, right?
As they've gotten closer, it is definitely going to be the foundation of the Tojo clan Yakuza, which it features heavily in these things.
Didn't they also put like Tupac in there?
Tupac's going to be in it, yes. Tupac, Snoop Dogg, and Snoop Dogg's son are all going to be in Stranger Than Heaven. It's going to be wild. So
yeah, I think it's one of those like Judgment, where like Judgment is considered a Yakuza spinoff, but it's, you know, kind of a spinoff.
It's kind of a spinoff in that it focuses on, it's the same team that makes it. It focuses on a detective in this universe instead of a Yakuza guy, but there are some shared characters. There's of course shared locations. But the thing about this franchise at the point that we started playing it is these games have gotten absolutely wild. And I say
Their relationship with reality has certainly loosened entirely.
But at the same time, I'm playing through a game like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name, and Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which feature and star Kazuma Kiryu, the original star of the Yakuza games. And it's effectively taking us through the history of those games to the point where right now I want to go and see what these games were like. I want to go back and get a real taste of the original Yakuza story. And that's really what made me push to do this. I have fallen in love with this franchise at game 7, and unlike Final Fantasy 7, where I could skip the first 6 games, I'm finding I can't really do that with Yakuza if I really want to get into it. So that's
yes and no.
Well,
with the game that you got into, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm being a little facetious for the sake of storytelling. So that is where we are with Yakuza Kiwami. So let's start our discussion 45 minutes into the episode.
Yeah. Well, part of the allure of this game is, you know, I've always loved Yakuza stories and what I've seen of Yakuza cinema, which, you know, there is a good chunk of, not all of it's very easy to find. And fans looking for, oh, I need to find the cinematic equivalent of this, might have a tougher time because some of those films aren't necessarily like the ones that pop up. When you look for Yakuza films, you are going to come up across a lot of good Criterion stuff like Pale Flower and Battles Without Honor and Humanity. You will come across Battles Without Honor and Humanity is like a whole series. You'll also get your Takeshi Kitano films of the 90s. Well, it starts in the late 80s. And these are more of these introspective films. These are about Yakuza characters kind of at the end of their career or, you know, reflecting. These are not neon-soaked, cool. Like, you're kind of almost expecting a John Woo type experience coming from these games. And I would say right now, you know, Takashi Miike did a Like a Dragon adaptation. It is seen with, you know, amusement mostly. And I know that Amazon just did the show.
Yeah, which I have heard some middling to negative things. But again, this is also coming from the first Yakuza game is not nearly as silly as the games have become.
No, not at all.
And that's I think, where they wanted the actual, you know, story to be told.
I would suggest, and I would love for anyone to write in who has much more of a relationship with Yakuza Ega than I do. Although I feel like I've seen like the biggies, but if you're wanting something that feels a little bit more like the games, I would get Takeshi Kitano's Outrage trilogy. They're later in his career. They're much more action oriented because finding something like the neon soaked streets of Tokyo in this context is a little tougher unless you're really diving into Japanese cinema. And that can be tough because there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make it over here or that gets talked about. So I'm going to keep digging as I move forward the month because I'm watching a lot of both Chinese and Japanese crime films right now. just because we've been doing a lot of, you know, John Woo influence stuff and now Yakuza influence stuff. I've just been just digging into all this. Yes, like Drew said, we are coming into this game with a much more grounded take on than if you've come from Like a Dragon, which I would imagine feels like whiplash for any new timers.
Yeah.
Or newcomers.
So I do want to talk about, if you're wanting us to think about the original. So one last thing before we get into the story, Yakuza Kiwami makes some changes from the original story. Most of them are additions. There are a lot of story additions. For example, we are introduced to the, I'm presuming he's the big bad of the show, Nishiki or Nishikiyama, big bad of the game.
much earlier and flashbacks that happen. There is an entire sequence that we play through in Kiwami that is not in the original Yakuza. And at the beginning of every chapter, because this game is broken into chapters, there is a sort of flashback showing the fall of this character that were not in the original game. In addition, they have added a lot of side quests and references to things like Yakuza 0. And the character of Majima is much more present in this game than he was in the original as well.
They kind of cheat. They do the what's called the Majima Everywhere, which kind of replaces the Mr. Shakedown of Yakuza 0. There is a really tough dude who would walk around the streets. And in Yakuza 0, he's constantly wandering around. Unless you've beaten him within like last 15 minutes,
yeah,
and tries to shake you down. Here, it's not quite as prevalent, but it does pop up randomly and sometimes irritatingly in major moments where he just pops in towards the end of a chapter, and you're like, "What are you doing here?" which actually it makes sense that he was at a funeral, but like, still. It did surprise me when he popped in. I was like, well, what are you doing here, man?
Yeah. And it's so yeah. So let's give ourselves a little story beat down. Yakuza starts with you want to talk about characters, you want to talk about story. Because I feel like they kind of go hand in hand, especially this early on. Our main character is, of course, Kazuma Kiryu. Kiryu-san, he is often called, and he works for the Yakuza. He is he's about to get his own family in the Yakuza, and this is where it was a little confusing, because the guy that he reports to is named Kazama, not Kazuma, but Kazuma is his first name, and Kazama that he works for is his last name. No, vice versa. I'm very confused. Kiryu is his last name. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. Why am I getting sidetracked by this, Miles? It's Kiryu. And it's in 1995, and he is going around, you know, doing Yakuza stuff. He's beating up this guy that's stolen a bunch of money from them, and it's gonna make a big payoff for our Yakuza dudes, their Yakuza family. But on the night that he is supposed to be doing this, which also coincides with the birthday of somebody that we will also talk about, turns out that the big boss of the Dojima section of, or what is it? Is it Dojima? There's so many Japanese names and I'm getting confused, Miles. You got to help me out here.
Sure. Which one are you looking for?
So who's the guy that kidnaps her?
Oh, that's the boss.
The boss, but he's not Dojima. He is...
Yeah, it is Dojima. It's Sohei Dojima.
Okay. So yeah. Dojima kidnaps Yumi, who is a childhood friend of Kiryu, and someone that Kiryu also seems to be very in love with, but yes. in the stoic Japanese way where he doesn't
that
know
only Kiryu can do.
Yeah, where he this guy can kick the crap out of 20 guys in a room, but he doesn't know how to talk to a girl.
Well, he knows how to talk to her. He doesn't know how to buy her anything.
it's so silly. And there's the other main character, Nishikiyama, who was also childhood friends with Kiryu and Yumi. They were all orphans that came through this orphanage that we don't know very much about yet. But Nishiki goes to confront this guy, but Kiryu doesn't get there until after Nishiki has already pulled the trigger and killed the big boss of the clan. Well, the big boss of the local clan, because there's a larger clan that they're all a part of too, but that's a different story that we'll get to in chapter 3. So chapter 1 involves But so basically Kiryu, knowing full well that if Nishiki gets caught here, he will be executed or at least captured by the police, decides wordlessly to take the fall for what's about to go down. And he then spends the next 10 years in prison. And we know that stuff happens between then and chapter 2, 10 years gone, when we take control of Kiryu again as he gets out of prison and tries to figure out what's going on in the world.
Yeah, and I have to say, like most games in this franchise, and certainly even how the recent Like a Dragon kind of works, is and very similar to a lot of RPGs, the early hours is not a whole lot of game plan. The first few three chapters, you're mostly watching, which for some people can be frustrating. I didn't have a problem with it because you're getting to play a little bit in between. But also the story they're telling is really interesting, really fascinating. You're learning a lot about the people and culture of the game in which you're playing. And I find that completely endearing. But I know some folks who are like, hey, I'm 3 hours in and now I'm finally starting to explore stuff. I'm like, yeah,
exactly.
Because the story has to start and there's a lot to go over.
And that is one thing that this game continues to do is you start with minimal. They've made it a little more playable as you've gone on, but then it's
they also start you off like 160,000 yen too.
Well, but then that goes away.
No, like even when I got out of prison, I had money.
Did you play more than I did?
Yeah, no, I stopped at chapter 3 when I left the funeral.
Okay. I just don't remember buying much there. But yeah,
I bought food from the convenience store and from the restaurants before the funeral because I do remember needing to do that in the original game.
And you were smart to do it because I didn't buy items and I was lucky that I picked up enough along the way.
Yeah, because that boss is kind of a pain.
it was tough. So yeah. So Kiryu's now out and he doesn't have any friends left. He has heard, he has been exiled from the Yakuza.
Which
not,
is different from banished, which I don't understand.
Yeah. because seemingly somebody liked him enough to not banish him. But at the same time, that same person may have also put a hit out on him while he was in prison as you kicked the crap out of a bunch of prison dudes in that scene.
Well, it certainly seems that way, but I think there is a general feeling amongst certain folks that, though they know Kiryu took the fall, but they are not convinced Kiryu did what he went to jail for. And it's not just people who are on his side. I mean, there's several folks who are like, yeah, doesn't sound right, but I'm going to kill you anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So Kiryu's out and he's gotten word that his old mentor, Kazuma, wants to meet with him. So he sends him to this host bar. And this is one thing that I absolutely love because it's also very convenient for Americans who may not know what a host bar is. That apparently in 1995, there were no host bars in Kamurocho. So Kiryu had no idea what that concept even was. So it then has to be explained to him as he meets and then has to. And this is another thing. Nobody trusts anybody. So they all fight first. And then they become best friends after the fight. That's a very Yakuza series thing to do. And it's nice to see it here in the first game because it continues even into the most recent game, Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii, that I also started playing after I got to chapter 3 and wanted to keep going, but didn't want to spoil the podcast. Probably getting too far ahead. So,
oh, trust me, I thought about just continuing to play, but I was like, no, I'm going to do this legit.
I did the same thing. I was like, I'll be able to.
Luckily, I'm doing a lot in Destiny right now for the moments of triumph. So, like, I have an excuse. I'm like, okay, I'll hop into something else. But I've definitely got the Yakuza fever. So I definitely want to, you know, do more. But at the same time, I don't want to play the man who erased his name before I go through. Because after this, even after this month, I'll probably just casually just start playing the other games in the franchise.
I don't know if I can go all the way back. I think I might just be good knowing the story beats from the backstories that they have in these games.
And I get that. I know they do enough different stuff. Like, I know at one point, like, Kiryu is running an orphanage or something.
Yes, I believe it's the... I don't know if it's the same orphanage that they were...
Maybe.
Three. It's three.
Three. Yeah, you're right. Three.
I want to say it's the same orphanage that they were from, but I don't remember that. I'm sure we'll find out more information later in this game.
Right. No, yeah. I'm absolutely sure. That said, I also love where the series has gone. So I may just hop into Infinite Wealth because, like, I feel at that point, because they've changed main protagonists, it's less worried about what you know of Yakuza 1 through 6. And that was clear in 7 as well.
And playing and knowing the cast of Yakuza 7 going into Yakuza 8 or Like a Dragon 7, Like a Dragon 8, they keep 90% of the same cast. So it really, really helps to continue that because that cast is so charming because most of them are not Yakuza. As I am learning, there's plenty of not Yakuza cast members in these games too. So we are introduced to the host club, and we've got our boy Shinji that we were introduced to 10 years ago as well. And he's technically working now for Nishikiyama, and he warns Kiryu that he's changed. He's not the man you once knew. And we think he's about to betray us all to the Omi Yakuza, which
if you play Like a Dragon, you do know who that is.
Yes. So this is where we have to pause.
Cartoonishly, though.
This is where we have to pause and talk about how Yakuza families work, apparently, based on this. Now, I have no idea how realistic any of this is. The only thing I do know is that this game series and a lot of the movies that it's referencing portray Yakuza as like samurai, like honorable people, you know, defending.
I mean, it's the same with La Cosa Nostra, in America.
I rarely see them portrayed in too positive of a light, but maybe that's.
No, but I mean, look, it's not that they're portraying a positive light, but certain movies certainly make them look cool. Whether or not they're positively
portrayed. This is not about making them look, cool. This is about Kazuma Kiryu being a Batman character who does not kill and only beats people up when honor is on the line.
they've certainly had those characters in Italian mafia movies.
I'm just saying it seems a little more like bright shiny picture of organized crime than we get for ours over here. But
it is a bright side, but they also highlight a lot of the dark stuff that the Yakuza gets into. They just also choose to portray a wacky side too.
But the dark stuff is always done by other Yakuza guys, not our Yakuza guys that we're following.
Well, yeah, and this is actually mirrors some of the stuff in the Italian mafia movies you've seen because, you know, Kiryu is fine with certain things. He gets a little iffy when they start talking about, like, we know that he's a criminal. We don't know what kind of criminal because he's not a drug dealer. And he doesn't seem to really be that fond of drugs, even though he will take them.
Well, I mean, I don't see him take drugs. I see him drink fairly often.
He drinks, yeah. I think at one point he gets drugged, but I know there's one game where you can take something, like a pill. But it's the same way in The Godfather. You know, initially Don Corleone does not want to get involved with drugs, and that's partially why he's murdered. He does not want to...
Oh, spoilers.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry for spoiling a 50-year-old movie that we've talked about on this podcast before.
I've never seen The Godfather. This is also something we've talked about before.
If I had remembered that, we would have watched that for my birthday challenge. But also, Don Corleone getting blown up is a very famous part of that movie.
Yeah, I know. I'm picking. But again, as we get into the story here, what we learn... Because we've got the two big Yakuza clans, the Tojo clan, which is who all of our guys are with, and the Omi Alliance, which is the bad guy Yakuza. Mm-hmm. Well, and there are a bunch of different, like, sub-level family heads. The Kazuma family, which is who Kiryu is a part of, who reports. But there's also the Dojima clan, or the Dojima family, who he used to be a part of before he became part of the Kazuma. There is a whole bunch of other guys. And it sort of goes like there's bigger families and smaller families, but they're all part of the Tojo clan. Well, as it turns out, the Tojo clan has had 1 billion yen stolen from their safe house or their bank or wherever they were keeping it, their private bank. And fingers are pointing and things are going on. But then the head of the Tojo clan is killed. And some people think that Nishikiyama had something to do with both things, but we don't know. But needless to say, Kiryu has to go, chapter 3, infiltrate the funeral for the Tojo clan leader. And then and hilarity ensues.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess what's so fun about, you know, especially if you've not played the original Yakuza games and you see the Oni Alliance is going to be familiar, or sorry, Omi Alliance, to anyone who's played that game, because they are kind of a cartoonishly large bad guy in Like a Dragon or Yakuza 7. To the degree they are basically like the High Table, where they send in like all of these crazily armed, like infiltrating soldiers into your base and all this stuff. And like, it reminds me of John Wick chapter 3.
Well, and I mean, a lot of these games remind me of John Wick. If John Wick didn't stop at 4 movies and kept going and kept going and kept going. There was a I started playing Like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii because I wanted to keep playing, and one character even says after your main character in that game wins a fight, "Can you believe that guy's in his 60s? Because our guys are getting old by these new games."
I mean, yeah, they're no spring chicken in the very first game. You know, 10 years has gone by. That also happens to Ichiban in Like a Dragon / Yakuza 7, although he kind of feels like a younger character when he's arrested.
Well, he's only in his 40s, I believe, when Like a Dragon 7 really kicks off.
Yeah, I feel like that's right, or maybe his like late 30s. One of the things gameplay-wise that I do appreciate is, and this is, again, using the Yakuza 0 engine and style, so while they did fairly faithfully recreate a lot of the cutscenes, a lot of the scenes from the first couple chapters, you obviously have things you can do, like the Majima Anywhere, which honestly is useful because it does help teach you play the game. There are a couple moments before, you know, you go to the funeral that you can walk around the city a little bit. You can have young thugs, you know, try to pick a fight with you, and as well as Majima, and do a couple, not even missions, but like, oh, hey, I lost this because I need to get this thing. And so you can kind of get used to going around the city, and not everything's opened up for you yet, but you at least, oh, there's a convenience store. Okay, here's things I can store in my items. Oh, this is a restaurant. Okay, if I buy from here, I eat it automatically. You can teach yourself a couple things without really punishing yourself that much. And while the game doesn't flat out tell you, it does kind of encourage you to like, hey, go play around for a little bit. Yes, go do the things in the story. This is a much more linear game than the franchise becomes. It's always linear, but like it becomes a sandbox.
Yeah.
Like you could play for the Yakuza 0 for 10 hours and at one point and never do any story.
Which I believe we will get to the point where you can do that in this game as well.
I'm curious because I know there is less to do in the first game.
We'll see, because they've added a good bit.
They have.
I mean, absolutely. I will also say another thing they do in this game that I didn't realize they did in this game is they Samus you. And what I mean when I say that, I mean in chapter one, when you were in 1995, you have a lot more skills and abilities that you then lose after you're in prison for 10 years and you have to relearn them as you go through. And I am having a hard time doing that. So to wrap out the story at the end of chapter three, we have our first big boss fight, who is this big bald dude, who works for, who's a Tojo clan officer. And he is, in fact, a guy that you see in many other Yakuza games. And, of course, I don't have his name in front of me. Shimano is his name.
Yes, yes.
Futoshi Shimano. And he has appeared in Yakuza 1, Yakuza 0, Yakuza Kiwami 2, Yakuza 2. I think that's... I could have sworn he's also in... Yakuza 7, but I'm not seeing him in there unless it's just a cameo. But maybe I'm remembering from Yakuza 0 because Majima is part of his family. So I could just be getting it confused with that. Anyway. And we finally get to our guy, Kazuma, that we've been trying to get to, the old mentor. And he is telling you that, oh, Kiryu, the bank was robbed and Yumi's gone into hiding and no one's seen her, and boom, he's shot through the window with a sniper rifle by someone whose hair looks suspiciously like Nishikiyama's, and that's where we get the big fight, because this is one of those funny things where if they had stopped for 5 seconds and saw the bullet hole through the window, they would know that he was shot from somewhere else. But then they knock out that window so you can't see the bullet hole anymore. And the chapter ends with Kiryu leaping into the back of the police car, or the detective's car that we met 10 years prior. And they drive off. We really gotta nail down how we're gonna talk about these stories. You and me, we like to meander a bit.
yeah. It's true. So I think one of the cool things about this is, and I guess because why I felt, you know, we can meander a little bit more is because the first three chapters are very cut and dry. Like, I mean, the second chapter really is just watch this scene, fight this one person. The end.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because they don't. I don't know if I saw a chapter three like title card pop up. It did for four, but
it goes right before he arrives at the funeral.
Okay. Well, no, that's for three.
Yes, for three.
I'm talking about chapter two. I don't remember something popping up at chapter two, but I could be wrong.
Oh, it was 10 years gone. That's how I. It definitely pops up.
Okay. Because chapter two is, I mean, I don't know what it says on the marker, but like, yeah, you just walk down the street, get into a fight, and you're done.
Yeah, that is where we meet Majima for the second time. And we go through all the club Stardust stuff, which I'm sure won't matter for the rest of the the thing. Chairman.
Oh, you mean the place that we're supposed to go directly after the funeral?
Yeah. Directly before the funeral. Well, that's where
Right. The Serena is where we're supposed to go right after the funeral.
Yes. So.
So I really like this. I really love the soap opera vibe of Yakuza. It's so good. And it's something that they've maintained. It's so great. And I really do love when it is a little bit less. I don't even want to say silly, because it's certainly silly stuff.
It's silly in a different way. So
yes, like there is a Baroque style of silly that you only earn after having six prior entries and spinoffs. When they do Yakuza 7, you know, I was making fun of the Omi Alliance being basically the high table with their assault on your characters. But at the same time, it's game 7. You switched up to being RPG-like, so everything is, like, you know, amplified. And, I mean, the way they've threaded the needle with this franchise is pretty great. Now, we haven't seen a whole lot of mini games and a whole lot of crazy silliness outside of Goro Majima in the first three chapters.
We haven't even really gotten to the point where we can start playing the game. Like you mentioned, running into Majima a couple of times. I've only run into him the once, and I lost that fight. And so
I've run into him like three or four times now
because when I walked around in chapter two, I kept getting told I shouldn't go there yet. I shouldn't go there yet. And so I ended up just going straight to the Stardust and continuing that part of the game.
Yeah. So when I got him, he picked another fight in the streets with a lot less health than he had in the first fight.
Yeah.
Cause the first fight you're supposed to lose.
Well, however,
you can beat it.
You can beat him. I didn't do it.
But you're generally supposed to lose it.
Yes.
Because the idea is that you have gone soft over 10 years being locked up. And to gain your dragon style special stuff back, you don't use your ability points. You have to beat Majima for these.
And if I had known I could go around and fight him again, I would have, because that would have made the boss fight at the end of chapter three slightly easier, because I was getting my butt kicked by that dude.
Yeah, see, I went shopping before that whole thing, so I had plenty of health items to munch on.
I had picked up a bunch of them too, but yeah.
But he's a tough boss, and this game doesn't always gives you the tools you need. It doesn't always give you the direction you need. Like, for example, is there a player lock in this game?
Yes.
Okay, then I just didn't
I think it's hold down R1.
You have to hold it down to lock on to enemy. Okay. Yeah. Because when you're just running around with the directional pad and then you throw a punch and then you just miss, you feel real stupid.
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about the combat slightly, because it is different from the original game, because in the original game, there were not different styles. It was just basically square and triangle.
A singular fighting style. Now, Yakuza 0, I believe, is where that was introduced, the multiple styles.
I don't know, because again, we had had
The way in which it's played in Yakuza 0 is the exact same as it is in this one. I know that much. I don't know if they brought in multiple styles.
And I mean, Yakuza 0 came out in 2015. Yakuza 6 came out in 2016. So,
yes. And there's a whole weird bit here, because like, and when I talk about people didn't know if the Yakuza series was going to continue here, Yakuza 5 comes out in 2012 in Japan, everywhere else 2015.
Yeah,
so there was 3 whole years. A lot of people thought the franchise was done for in the West, and then when they finally brought over Yakuza 5 and it didn't fail, that's when they're like, all right, we can still bring stuff. And then Yakuza 0 just blew the door down.
Well, and Yakuza 0 was 2015, Yakuza Kiwami and Yakuza 6 were 2016, and Yakuza Kiwami 2 was 2017. So and then 2018 was the first Judgment game. Yep. So
and I've never played.
I got it on PlayStation Plus and I played a little bit of it, but I again, it's one of those games where if you're not ready to get into it, you're not gonna
Instead of like just going down the Yakuza route, I might just do Judgment next.
I mean, it wouldn't be crazy. It would not be crazy. But yeah, another thing I love about these games, and I don't know where it was introduced because I'm not sure it was in the first game, but it's definitely here, is the ability to walk around and pick up stuff off the street and hit people with it. If there is a bike on the side of the road, you can hit a guy with it. If there is a traffic cone, you can hit a guy with it. If there is a jackhammer, you can hit a guy with it. It's very, very satisfying and very fun.
Yeah. Again, it's been so long since I played the PS2 game, so I just do not remember. But I love what you can do in this game because, one, yes, you have the multiple fighting styles, so you can find one that fits best for your preferred play style. But also, because everything is so customizable, each style does lend itself to different fighting characters. So, for example, like the beast mode, like that mode's not always going to be in your best interest, but certain bosses, it works out just fine. It's how I beat the boss at the funeral.
Yeah, it's how I beat him too. I thought it would be too slow and I'd be getting stomped, but he punches so much harder that was the only way I was really putting damage in him. There's a brawler mode, which is sort of your main sort of best of both worlds. There is rush mode, which is lighter punches, but a lot faster. There's beast mode, which is slower, stronger punches and kicks. And then there's dragon mode, which is special. And you have to build that up with the Majima fights. There's also the heat meter. And the heat meter here is actually different than I was used to. Because the heat meter in games that I have played doesn't go away when you take too many punches. And maybe that's a thing that you can upgrade to in later in the game. And I just didn't get to it yet. But I was like, all right, I got some heat. And I could do these special heat actions like slamming a guy's face into the ground or you know, something like that. But I would then get hit and lose my heat meter. So that mm-hmm. sucked. But I'm not very good at this game, but I'm going to get better.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, is the game does encourage you to do that. And I mean, I love that about this. I love the soap opera. I love all the weird quirks, because that's the thing, is there are so many little things about Japanese city life that you can kind of glean into by playing some of these games. Yes, it doesn't give you one-for-one experience, but there are certain cultural things that we just don't really know that much about. Like, even playing Yakuza 0, I didn't realize that little RC cars was a big thing over there. But they have, like, they have these little, like, parlors where people, like, race them.
The slot racers.
The slot racers, yeah. And, like, it's cool, like, to, like, get little bits and bobs of the interests and...
Well, and even the idea that, while this is partially true, one of the most true things about it is that up until fairly recently, Yakuza offices were just in the city. They were rented out, and you would walk by, and it would have their big Yakuza symbol on the side of the building. That's not something that you have in America. There's not just a building that says Mafia on it.
Well, there is one that says Trump. Oh! We have fun here.
Yeah.
But I think it's such a rewarding part that I don't get from a game like Grand Theft Auto. And that's not to throw shade at Grand Theft Auto, and I know that it does a lot of amazing things with its production. But sometimes, like, scaling down to, like, you just have this chunk of the city is perfectly fine, and other things in that city open up. But there's so much to do in these games. Even this 2005 game, they packed a lot. Like, even if you go back and play the old PS2 version, you know, does it feel like you're playing a PS2 game? Absolutely. It wasn't that ahead of the curve. But to see how much they stuff into that little weirdly localized PS2 game is pretty impressive. And I love the version that we are experiencing right now. I wish I had more to say about it, but unfortunately, the first three chapters are pretty sparse in terms of gameplay.
And that's where another thing I love about it is this. So I started, again, mostly with Yakuza 7. And you walk through Kamurocho in Yakuza 7. And it feels the same, but different. Because mm-hmm. it's set in a different time period. So some of the stores are the same. Some of the venues are the same. Like Club Stardust, I'm pretty sure, is in Yakuza 7. You can't go in it or do anything with it, but it's there. It's still open.
Right.
but the map is the same. Like, I know how to get over here. I know how to get over there. And as the games have gone on, they have added more locations, and they keep coming back to these locations and making just little changes. And it just makes the world feel so lived in a way that I really did not expect. And it's been very, very interesting to go back. And I can't wait to really get into the city in chapter 4 next week.
Oh, I can't wait either.
Well, Miles, let's not wait. Let's get to it. Let's go play chapter 4 right now and end this episode. Gang, this has been a weird new thing. Some stuff is working. Some stuff is we're gonna iron out. But, you know, this is a new thing for us, and I'm excited. If you want to play along with us, again, we're doing chapter by chapter. And next week, so if you want to catch up, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Don't go, well, next week, we're going to do chapters, guess what? 4, 5, and 6, which we think are going to be a lot more gameplay involved. Because I know chapter 3 is supposedly the first time we get into sub-stories, which is really where these Yakuza games get funky. So that is it for today. Jalaika Dragon, this is going to be fun. This is going to be weird. And we hope you guys go and play it with us. Again, of course, that's Yakuza Kiwami chapters 4, 5, and 6 next week. In the meantime, we're now going to end the show. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us at themoreyounerd.com, where you can find this and every other episode of the show. You can find us on social media, either at themoreyounerd or /themoreyounerd, just about everywhere. And you can email us, themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. You can also find us at CosmicCrit.com. Go to CosmicCrit.com, and that's our sister show where we play the Starfinder RPG. It's really awesome. And on that website, you can find a link to the Cosmic Crit Discord, where you can join it and talk to me and Miles all day while we are bored at work. So with that said, gang, we're in the show as we always do with a rousing
nerd out.
Out.
Tutor for y'all.